the van life.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Frankie.
And I'm Alex.
And together we're FNA Van Life.
Today we have two very special guests. We have a live podcast. We don't get to do these very often, so we always enjoy the opportunity to sit down with some friends. We've got Matt and Amber from Adaptive Humanity, and their very squeaky puppy with our very squeaky puppy.
He needs oil. Someone give him oil.
So a little quick life update from the road. We right now are in Telluride, Colorado. We came out here to meet up with Adaptive Humanity, Matt and Amber. We were really excited to come out and meet up with them. The last time we were together was Alaska.
Yeah. Couple months ago.
Yeah.
It's been a journey.
Yeah. And then before that, they were actually on the podcast in episode 23, I think it was. We looked it up last night. And that was back when we were in Florida all building our van together.
And that was interesting.
Yes, to say the least.
We even had gawkers in an RV staring at us all the time. It's
kind of
weird.
Freaking RV people. Speaking of that, I want to know a little update from what it was like to travel in the RV to now traveling in the van. You know, you guys used to have basically a Class A RV, and now you're in a smaller than D size RV, van.
Let me take this one. And the words of my wonderful wife, freedom!
I couldn't have said that better myself.
It's awesome.
Definitely got ultimate freedom. We were so limited in the RV. Giant bus, couldn't go anywhere, couldn't have any kind of fun, and this time we have all of the fun. We go all of the places.
Even though we shouldn't.
We still test the rig to the limit.
4-foot dent to prove it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, I haven't even noticed that.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at the driver's side right behind the door. It's smashed in from behind the driver's side door all the way to the wheel well in the back.
Yeah. How did you do that?
Wow. So we went down it was an ATV trail.
Uh-huh.
With the van.
Uh-huh.
And when you dropped in, it was 4-foot tall banks on either side. And you drop in and make an immediate right-hand turn. Well, 24 feet long, trying to shove it through an ATV trail.
And it's just very muddy and very, very slick.
Yeah.
And it just went boop.
Yeah, it went right into the bank in a tree.
Oh, shit.
And then I was like, it's like a Band-Aid. Full throttle and
rip
just
it
whip
off.
It forward
yeah.
And... You know,
and it pulled you right out regardless.
Yeah,
I think
we're
it's a
good.
Beast.
Yeah, it ripped right out of there. We lost a security camera and 4-foot dent, and our ladder moved back about a foot.
Oh my gosh. All right, so let's paint a picture for the people who are listening, because we do not recommend that you take most of these van life vehicles into situations like that. But you guys have specifically designed yours to be beast mode. So what kind of modifications have you done? It's a 2020 Sprinter?
2020, yep.
170.
Yep.
And so what have you all jacked up on it to be able to do this crazy off-roading stuff?
So tires. We got 35 tires.
Suspension.
Yep. All the suspension's been changed out. And we are, hopefully, everything goes through, and we'll be the first ones to do a solid axle swap for the front of it. So we'll have a Dana 60 in the front and a Dana 80 in the rear. So it'll be a true four-wheel drive, and that'll be
so
awesome.
For the people that don't understand what that means, what's the difference between the axle that you have now and the one that you're putting in?
So the one that we have now, Mercedes has they call them CV shafts. So
and
it's
technically called four-wheel drive, right?
Yeah.
You bought a four-wheel drive vehicle.
Right.
But it doesn't operate that way.
No. So it operates its four-wheel drive based upon the anti-lock braking system. So it picks up a tire spinning, and then it stops it and spins the other one. But really, we only have one tire in the front that drives and one tire in the rear that drives. So, for instance, when I have it balancing on two wheels... and it's not the right two wheels,
okay.
You have to get out, put a traction board down, and then go, which has happened quite a few times.
Mainly in Alaska?
Yes.
Every time in Alaska.
Yeah, almost every day in Alaska. It was on two wheels.
Damn. For instance, just to give you guys an idea, we have a Ram Pro Master 3500, and we love our van, but I could tell you with confidence there's a lot of things that we wouldn't be able to go down that these guys are going down. We could probably go with them.
Yeah.
And we could pull you.
Yeah, they have a winch. They could just pull us right out of anything. So, like, you know, we're hoping to have some of those experiences with them here in the future. We didn't get to have any in Alaska because the timing just didn't work out properly.
We did get to dodge potholes for like 6.5 hours.
That was a beautiful communal experience that you shared.
Yes.
I will say the Arctic Circle like spot that we stayed at was incredible though. Like,
oh yeah,
we were only ones in the campground there.
It was brand new.
Brand new, just opened up. The bathrooms were spotless. They still have like the checklist on them.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
But that was a freaking amazing spot. And talk about like quality time. I remember Alex, myself, and Amber tried to stand up really late. And watching you were the smart one because we were trying to see the Northern Lights. And if it was a clear night sky, we would have actually seen it.
Well, it was pretty clear until about 3:30 in the morning when it was still dusk, and then the clouds started overtaking the sky. And we were like, I don't think this is going to happen. No. And we called it.
That was also the one where that tree kept talking shit. So I had to take a walk out in the middle of the woods and handle it.
Yeah, you're right. Timber! That was fucking good.
You know, I still think that Alex and I brought home the most wood.
Yeah. Me and Frank hunted with axes, and you guys gathered.
Yeah, hunter-gatherers. Yeah.
Well, we had enough fire for probably like a 14-hour-plus fire.
Oh,
so
for sure.
Yeah,
between the hunting and the gathering, we were set.
Yeah.
So let me take you back to the build. Because you bought your first RV, right?
Yes. Yep.
So turnkey, you walk in, you have this beast of a vehicle. Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it a beast.
Nothing is turnkey when you buy an RV.
No, right. Tell me more.
No, so it's like you buy the RV, you're all excited, you just dropped like your life savings on the thing, and then as soon as you pull out of the parking lot, everything goes to hell and breaks. And it's cheaply made, and the cabinets fall off the walls, and things leak, and electrical doesn't work, and then you got to fight with the dealership to get it fixed. So really, the first year you own the RV, you never really go anywhere.
Because you're circling around the dealer getting stuff fixed.
So are you telling me that it's like a pig with lipstick on?
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
So then after that first year, when everything's fixed, then you can start traveling.
Right. But you didn't even make it to the first year.
No. No, we had it for, what, 8 months?
I think so. August? No, six.
6 months?
No, less. Because we had the first one for
The turd coach.
So we had it.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, if I remember the story correctly, after somebody like got sold to somebody else from the dealership, it then burnt down.
Driveway.
So we returned it as a lemon, and they gave us back our money, and then we put that towards a new RV. And the understanding was that this thing was literally a turd. Like, the generator was falling out, the mirror fell off while we were driving down the road, the lights would flicker on and off all the time.
The fridge would open all the time. Nothing worked.
No, nothing worked. It was a giant coachman turd. And so we bring it back to the dealer, and then we swap it out. We get this brand new RV upgrade. We spent more money on it, and it turned out to be just almost as big as a turd. Because it was like rushed through the assembly line and things weren't completed.
We deem it as like a COVID build.
Yeah.
Anything in COVID time that was built was not
with
really
scrap
built.
Parts.
Because well, because they
get parts.
Well, and they were like had such a high demand too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's so like we can sell a gillion of these.
Yeah. So
let's get them out
together. Just glue and staple.
Yeah.
Glue and staple.
So
the turd coach gets
so
returned.
Return the turd coach. We get the polished turd coach. And I gotta say, though, once we got that and we worked with Holiday Rambler, they bent over backwards for us. I mean, we drove up there and they took care of everything. They were great. So I don't have anything bad to say about them, but the assembly line people, yeah. We won't talk about them. So so we get the new one, and we're about a month into traveling with the new one. And all of a sudden, I get a call from an insurance guy saying, hey, you know, I'm with Progressive Insurance, and I have you listed as a previous owner of a 2021 Coachman sports coach. And I was like, yes. And he goes, okay. So our client purchased the coach on this date, which happened to be like 20 days after we traded it back in as a lemon. And he drove it home, and he could smell like something burning, and the dash was flickering. So he drove it back and told them, hey, listen, this is what's going on. And they said, we can't get you in for like another 3 months. We're so busy. So he drove it back to his house, parked it, went to go walk into the house, and all of a sudden he seen smoke, and it literally burnt to the ground in his driveway.
Holy Jesus.
Total loss.
That's freaking wild.
Yeah.
He'd owned it for like 12 hours.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And the funny thing is the timing, if we didn't go back and swap them all out and everything, we would have been in Terlingua, Texas, ghost town, population of 100, and like
in a
fire department
camper.
Non-existent.
Yeah.
Right? In the desert.
Yeah.
Just standing there. By other RV.
Just standing right there with a burnt down RV.
Yeah. And Skip could have very well been in there alone.
Yeah.
So we're thankful that nobody got harmed during that process of the turd coach.
So crazy, though. And the fact that, like, you buy this brand new thing, and then they're like, oh, sorry, we can't help you for 3 months.
Yeah. Right. It's ridiculous.
The whole point to buy something like that is to be able to travel in it.
Immediately. Like, that's why you buy the turnkey solution, so you don't have to spend 5 months building it.
Yes. You got it.
Yep.
Oy vey. Wow, that sounds like a...
So
you dodged a bullet.
And a miss, and then a hit, and then another miss.
Yeah, so after all that, and then being stuck in RV parks, and having to tow the Jeep, and drive the Jeep everywhere, and then tent camp, which we don't like to do.
Yeah.
So... We finally said enough's enough.
I never even heard about you tent camping. When was your tent camping?
We did the app trail. Yeah, we did the app trail. We tent camped on the app trail. And it was like the first time I ever set up a tent since I was like 12.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it was like 2 hours later, we finally got a tent up.
Oh my God.
And then we have sleeping mats that I bought that they self-inflate. They're
like that's cool.
Yeah, they're like compression foam, you know?
Cool.
So I look at the thing and it has a picture, no words. It just says like an arrow that says flip the valve, right? So I'm like, okay. So I flip the valve and the thing puffs up. All night long, it was like freaking sleeping right on the rocks underneath it. The mat was non-existent. And then I figured out in the morning that you flip it to let it inflate.
And then you got
to
lock it.
And then you have to flip it back. So when you lay on it, it pushed all the air.
So we were laying on the ground.
That's hilarious.
We didn't sleep the whole night. It was freezing. The wind was wicked. We were on top of a mountain. And the wind was
like waves.
Yeah, the wind was like hitting the valley different. And it was coming up the mountain and just like pushing on our tent. It sounded like waves, like in our ear the whole night.
Yeah, it was like 70 mile an hour gusts on the top. So, and it would hit it as a wave, and it sounded like a wave on the beach.
Trippy.
So you'd be like, oh, that's everything's good, and the entire tent would be like,
oh, man, you guys lucky you didn't parachute off the top of the mountain in that tent.
She almost did.
Yeah, well,
She decided that she was a stunt woman and does her own stunts and wanted to go stand on a rock over the edge, and then the gust came up, and she goes, whoop. I'm like,
myself.
That's it. You're done. Get down.
Okay, so clearly tent camping was not for you.
Likewise for us. I mean, we had one moment where we tried to tent camp out of the car when we came back from Alaska. And
I remember that.
I mean, I'll say the tent was definitely more comfortable than the car.
Yeah.
But we have no interest in tent camping. We're very much glampers and love being in our van.
Yeah,
and that's why we live in a van.
Right.
So
you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, yeah.
So
now the difference between that RV and going into the van, like what makes it so much different? Obviously you built it yourself. You know how all the systems work.
Yep.
But like, and you could get out into the middle of nowhere. Do you think also being smaller helps as well? Like just like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can go anywhere that we want for the most part.
Yep.
Unless it's a parking garage.
They have a height requirement.
Bit too tall. Well,
11 foot doesn't fit very, very well.
I would say that's probably our biggest limitation now is just the height. And that's one of the table trades.
I mean, that's realistically like a limitation in cities.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
We also learned that we needed to get a chainsaw too.
Yeah.
Because we go down a lot of trails and you got three
some
branches that hang out. Most of them I could just, you know, just go right through it. But, you get the occasional that you have to climb up on the roof. And
yeah. We learned a lot in Alaska.
Yeah, Alaska taught us a lot.
Yeah,
we're thankful for Alaska.
Yeah, wet wood burns.
Yeah, we learned that. Yeah,
you gotta stack it right and get it out of the building.
Yeah, that's how you build it. You know, it's funny, I used that trick after that because I was with some other, I forget who we were with, but they couldn't get a fire going for the hell of them. And so I used the trick.
You came over and chest pumped and said, watch this.
I said, I learned this from my buddy Matt. And I stacked the sticks the proper way. And next thing you know, we had a nice hot fire going. So you know, it's all about how you learn and what you take with you. So
pass the knowledge.
Yeah, pass on the knowledge. That's it. So yeah. So now Alaska. What was like Alaska like for you? You say you learned a lot there. Like, what was some of your best experiences there?
Man, a lot of it was off grid. I mean, we were miles and miles and miles to the closest person, and it was just. It was nice. You get to know yourself, know your equipment, what it can and can't do, and you get to know your relationship a little better.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Has that been harder in the smaller space?
No, not at all.
I think it's been easier.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but like I was just not vibing with the RV. We didn't get along. So I guess I don't know what it is about this life, but no, maybe we just needed to be closer.
No. Yeah, maybe also, like you said, the RV and you didn't get along. Mm-hmm. You know, the van is a personality within,
totally.
You know, you're traveling.
Yeah.
I mean, it has its little issues. Yeah. You know, I mean, you guys have like floppy windows and all that. Yeah. So like, I mean, even though they're minor, you know, those little issues actually play a big role in your relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Like what Alex and myself in the first van, you know, we really enjoyed being together and traveling together. But when we were having so many issues with the rig, it started becoming so even a strain in our relationship.
Well, your energy just gets
because mine
was
totally drained
and frustrated. I think, too, with the RV, we couldn't fix it. He couldn't fix it. We have to go somewhere and have it fixed. And it's all the way out of the way. And it's probably in a freaking city. And we're driving this giant thing.
Yep.
And then with the van, if anything is messed up, he knows exactly where it's at and exactly what to do.
Yep.
And we don't have to rely on anybody. So it's completely self-sufficient.
And with us building it, too, it's built a lot better.
Exactly.
You know, everything was gone over with a fine-tooth comb and, you know, we have nowhere near the problems they get when you get a RV.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to build it?
4.5 months.
That's really fast.
Yeah. Especially what you guys built.
I had to go back and look. So we went back like through our phones and photos and everything from the time that the spray foam started going in and the Dynamat till the time that we rolled out. It was 4.5 months. And it felt like it was like 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
In that time, it was 2 years. He would get up at freaking like sunrise and then he's done after the sun goes down, like fucking midnight sometimes.
Yeah, I remember even just working side by side with you guys. It was like, you know, we were out there early. You were always out there a little bit earlier than I was. I was waiting for Amber to cook me breakfast. You're already out there working. I'm sitting there waiting to eat. But yeah, just like like you said, you know, you're getting up at crack of dawn. You're, you know, thinking that something's going to work exactly how you envisioned it. And then all of a sudden, that idea shits the bed. And you have to go right back to the drawing board again. And like, you know, obviously, you know, sometimes your significant other is like, hey, why isn't this fucking working? Get it done already, you shithead. And you're like, listen, I tried, but it doesn't work this way. I got to go back and like reassess, you know. It's part of the building of the van.
Yeah.
It's also kind of like the lifestyle too, right?
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things in the lifestyle you think are just going to be like all this freedom and you know, you're not going to have to do anything anymore.
Everything's happy, sunshine all the time.
But yet you always are doing something, whether it's like filling up your water or throwing out garbage or
just cleaning the van, making it tidy.
Taking a shower, you know, then having to wipe up the water on the floor, whatever it is.
Yep.
You know, there's always so much extra than what you would think that comes along with it. Like in a normal house, you kind of lay on the couch and you're not really thinking about much.
When
the van, it's kind of constant. Do you find that to be a good thing? Like, does it make you feel more fulfilled?
Yes. Because I feel more on top of my game. Because I can't let things just, like, sit there for a little while, you know? So it's, like, I gotta take care of it now. So it's kind of, it's building more character.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, too, people. Because people get the false impression about, you know, fan life or overlanding or whatever it may be. It's all rainbows and sunshine and, you know, beaches and booty shots and, you know, bikinis and, oh, look at the water flow through my hair outside. You know, when it's not. That's good for the picture, but, you know, there's struggles and you're always tinkering with something. Something's always off or you want to improve on something, but what makes it worthwhile and, like, our instance is we're in Alaska and we took this, like, no map, no nothing, just little teeny trail. And I was like, I'm going uphill. So that means I'm going to be on somewhere on a mountain, you know. And it was getting dark and it was cloudy and rainy and everything. And then we got up to kind of where I thought it was about to crest. So we're like, all right, we're just going to park here for the night. And then we get up in the morning and it's bright sunshine, blue skies, and we're surrounded by, you know, 10,000 foot plus mountains covered in snow all the way around us. And it's like, yep.
This is why I'm doing it.
That's exactly what makes all the shit.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
For sure. It makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
I truly agree. Like, going back to the whole beach shots, I can't remember the last time I was in a bikini. So, you know.
We'll get you in one whenever you
remember. Remember when you tried to get one when we were in Alaska and we were on our way to the Arctic Circle and you were like, I want to back up to this river because I want to get, like, that back door shot.
Yeah.
And then the fucking mosquitoes.
The mosquitoes.
Don't open the door.
No.
That's van life. That's true van life. Like, for real, like, you could have the bug net up. You could have all that stuff up. But realistically, the shot is just, like, a glimpse of, like, what, like, the actuality of what's going on is happening. I will say that Alaska is one place that you could get all those shots. I mean, if the mosquitoes aren't bad, right?
Yeah.
If the weather is decent. But you could actually back up onto a lake with a mountain view.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you could park on the side of a mountain. If you could pull off the side of the road, you could camp there. It's not necessarily the same in the lower 48.
No, it's not, but it kind of is.
It is.
Because the way that we have learned to travel from Alaska and everything and RV experiences, we look a lot on apps that show private property, state property, BLM land, national forests. And, you know, we maybe stayed in a parking lot 3 times now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All the rest of the time, we've been off in the middle of nowhere somewhere and doing our thing, whether it was in Washington, Oregon, here in Colorado. You know, we spent some time in Moab, which was freaking awesome. So it's like we always manage to find a spot, but it takes a little bit of planning to it. You got to, you know.
Yeah, it definitely does. It takes planning. It takes the balls to do it, too, sometimes. Because sometimes you pull up to spots and you're like, ooh, do I want to go down there? You know, and like,
yes, you do.
You do. You want to go down there. The thing is having, like, you know, that recovery equipment or at least having the brain to know what you need to do to get yourself out of situations.
Right.
I mean, yeah, sometimes it happens where you just got to fucking call a tow truck. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But like, if you have the brains to do it, you can figure it out, get yourself out of the spot. And believe me, those spots are worth it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And the tires.
Yeah, the tires. The tires are huge.
I mean, the brains are great, but if you're riding on balds, you're not getting anywhere.
That's not good. All you can hear is...
But you know what, though? Some of our best spots were, we really shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Like, this is not going to end well. And most of the time, it was a little rough.
But the van is still in one piece.
Right, but we got to the best area. We got to, you know, do the most amazing things and just by going... Okay, yeah, fuck it,
let's do it. Full send.
Yeah, that's it.
And a lot of times they're like untouched spots.
Yeah.
Nobody's around.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's the places that I enjoy the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will, you know, once again, you know, you're going to get a lot more of those spots in Alaska, say, than you will here because it's just a lot bigger population in general.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
it's harder to find. But
yeah.
You can find them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just you got to...
Yeah.
Do you have your favorite hunting apps?
Yeah. So that is, what are they?
You said Onyx Off-Road, Onyx Hunt, Onyx Trail, I think think so is the third
one? So we use Onyx Off-Road and then Onyx Hunt. Because Onyx Hunt will literally give you the private land. It'll give you BLM. It'll give you state land. And then even the private land, private landowners can go in there and post if you're allowed to hunt on their property, traverse mm-hmm. their property,
yeah.
use their trail systems and stuff. And they also list the contact info.
Mm-hmm.
So you can give them a call and be like, hey, you know what? I'm in a van. We just want to kind of get off grid for the night or whatever. Is it okay?
Yep.
You know? And that way you don't get in trouble. You don't get the knock.
Right. Or you know, or the shotgun outside your door because you're on their land. You know what I'm saying?
You know, and the ones that we use, they're like $99 a year, but it's so worth it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's $99 for 100% peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. you know where you are all the time. And you don't have to worry about anything.
So I'll give it to you in the way that we should be saying it. Don't be a cheap fuck.
Yeah.
Splurge a little bit. Get that Onyx. I mean, I really do think that in order for you to have the best experience possible, you do want to pay for the right things. So like paying for certain things, it will just change your situation completely being out on the road.
You can download the maps too. So if you know you're going to go somewhere where there isn't going to be any cell service, you just download the map ahead of time mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter. You still have everything right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that mostly North America?
So it is just for North America. It's just
North
for,
America or just USA?
Ooh, that's good.
I don't know if they opened up Mexico yet.
Well, Canada. Is it Canada?
They have Canada.
Okay, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So yeah, so basically North America for the most part.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Not
about
sure
Mexico
about Mexico.
Yet,
have you guys stopped using Harvest Host?
No.
You still use that occasionally?
Yeah, yeah, we stop in. That's where we
not
get our drink
often,
on.
Get off
you're
the
like,
road.
We like the wineries
that's
and the
it.
Breweries.
Yeah. That's it.
Go eat some good grapes that actually taste like grapes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we stayed at a, we're in Alaska. We're in Fairbanks, I think. And we stayed at a, like a communal garden or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And that was cool.
Yeah.
You know, and then we were like, how do we contribute? You know, because normally we stay at a winery or something, you buy a couple bottles of wine, do a tasting, you know, even Steven. But they were like, you know, oh, don't worry about it. It was just a pleasure to have you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was like, we just want your beautiful spirits and energies in our garden. That's the real gift.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
And realistically, you know, word of mouth, just bringing new people there.
Leaving a good review.
Leaving a good review. You know, then other people then come and try their wine and maybe it's their cup of tea. You know what I mean?
We've met some amazing people doing it. Like Sarah Vineyards.
Yeah.
They're like family, you know?
Yeah.
We were the first Harvest Host that they ever had. And you
stayed
know, they
the whole
like,
weekend.
They begged us to stay the whole weekend. It was a blur.
A good blur.
Yeah.
A good
that
blur.
Is
yeah.
so much wine.
Yeah.
Their kids were fantastic. We hung out with their kids pretty much most of the time.
Yeah.
Got them all hopped up in chocolate. But you get to meet a lot of different people and small businesses and... You know, you're actually talking to the owner while you're there, not just an employee.
Well, and when you really think about it, that's like the embodiment of van life, right?
Oh, yeah.
That what you really want is to meet all different types of people. Like some people want to get away from society. For people like us, we want to embrace and meet more and see the good out there
mm-hmm.
in the world.
The quality.
Yeah, the quality of the type of people that mm-hmm. we could come across. And I think overwhelmingly... It's pretty positive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, you run into an occasional jerk here and there, but for the most part, people are good.
Yeah.
You know, not what you hear on the news and everything else and stuff. It's, you know, vast majority of people in this planet are good people.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to learn even more about that. What's that, Ember? Ember's doing a dance right now.
They are because
you only
remember the Karens.
Yeah, the negative things stick in your side like a thorn. You know what I mean? Like when you pull it out, it still stings a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where the positive people is like smell a rose.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of keep going.
It's super super refreshing when you meet like a really good person.
Yeah.
Like
we met tons of them.
Like FNA.
Oh, name drop.
What about Blueberry Jam Lady?
Oh, Blueberry Jam Lady was the
shizzy.
Honestly, I wish I remembered her name off the top of my head, but she was incredible. Aunt, we were calling her Aunt Kathy.
It
was a K, I think.
Oh, man.
But what's funny, too, is that we ended up seeing her like 300 miles away at a gas station.
Yeah.
She came running over. It's like, hey.
So let's clear. So we were all hanging out at the hot springs, at Chena Hot Springs.
Yep.
getting our soak on. Yep. And we moved from the pool to the hot tub, and we ended up striking up a conversation with the two ladies that were in there. One of them ended up being our blueberry jam lady.
Yep.
And so in talking, it turns out she used to run an Airbnb for like Aurora viewing and all this stuff. And she invited us to come over to her house to give us blueberry jam and blueberry juice that she literally had on the stovetop and was like tapping it into the bottles.
Yeah, she was cooking it up while we were
there. It was the most delicious stuff ever. Yep. And she was just so sweet.
And then she sent us packing with our own jellies for ourselves. And I've really missed that blueberry jelly. I wish we had more now.
We were leaving Alaska maybe like 4 days later or something.
Yep.
So we literally just ate blueberry jam on everything for 4 days. Because it was like, I'm not letting this go to waste when our fridge is off. Right. So we need to just crush this. But yeah, that was super amazing.
And she let the dogs just run around her house and in her yard.
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
She loved it. She was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was incredible. And that's what the experiences are all about, is like when you just come across these random people that just out of the goodness of their heart want to like send you away with a gift, you know, just because they like, you know, your aura or the personality, the fact that you gave them some of your time, because that's the most important thing in the world is time, which is like, you know, another reason why we live van life.
So one thing you can't get more of.
Correct.
So
you can't get more of, you can't get it back. You only want to give it to people that deserve it. You know what I mean? So, you know, time is definitely one of those things that I think that van life embodies for all of us. You know, we get to utilize our time the way we want to.
Exactly. You know, the way that we travel to is a lot of it's out in the middle of nowhere, and we love like indigenous culture too. Mm-hmm. So like in Alaska, we went village hopping. We drove all the way to Dead Horse, and we went back to Fairbanks. We chartered a plane. We went to Utqiagvik, aka Barrow. We went to Kaktovik, and you know, we got to hang out with amazing people and learn, you know, all about their culture and where they came from and how they do things, because it's a completely different way of life up there. It's like, are we still in America? Like, yeah. Some of it was a little
Well, it's because you another part because you like, come.
Wow, this is it. You know,
like an image.
Right.
Yeah, you come with, if you come with any expectations whatsoever, there's always going to be an opportunity for letdown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so, we met some amazing people that like, we adopt you for the weekend. You know, we hung out with them. We played some games. You know, we were drinking on the beach. And
speaking of playing games, were there any like different games that they played with you guys that you never played before, or?
Just the one that we played with you guys.
Incoherent.
Yeah.
And then they were making me do shots out of this little shot glass that had a penis on it. So I was like, all right, whatever. Let's do this.
So there's still about dick jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
For sure.
For sure.
Yeah, very normal. Very normal.
I meant to put a disclaimer at the beginning of this video that there will probably end up being some cursing.
Haven't heard one yet.
I haven't either, but then when you said dick, I was like, ooh. Oh,
I definitely said that. F word at least three times.
I didn't hear it.
It's all good. Listen, our audience is definitely 18 years and older. I think you could handle a little bit of profanity. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's incredible to like see your guys' journey to now being in the van and how much things have changed for you guys. I mean, just from when we met you guys first at your house, which thank you, because if it wasn't for you guys, we'd probably still be building a van right now. I mean, I would definitely be done, but you know.
It wouldn't look as good. It wouldn't have been cut as nice, and all the wood wouldn't have been sanded, and we'd be getting splinters every other day.
I can tell you one thing
Frank
for sure.
Frank would do something, and I'd be like, Frank, no.
Yeah, I can tell you one thing for sure. I would not have the headliner in my van. Right
now. Probably not.
No, definitely not. Because
did you put something up there yet?
No, never. Nope, it's still clear. Yep.
But it's cool.
So you know, get a good view of all your shit.
Yeah. You can see the bottom of the baskets. Yeah.
I know there's a hammock up there.
Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible to see that your journey come, you know, so far, just from like building the van and seeing the van now. It's an absolute beast. If you guys haven't seen it, make sure to check them out on Instagram, Adaptive Humanity. I mean, it is literally, it's so funny. When we pull up to gas stations, I feel like normally sometimes people are like, oh, that's cool, like our van. And now people don't even look at our van. They're like, yo, that thing is badass. Like, what is that? You know?
The best part is because we got the snorkel on it, too. So if you hit the throttle just right and then back off, you get that nice little turbo.
Yeah, the sound.
It's like, ooh.
It makes everybody go, ooh, what's that? Yeah, it's incredible. And all the things that are still to come with your van. I feel like that there's still upgrades you guys are going to make.
Oh, yeah. It'll always be a work in progress. It's never going
to
be done.
I think that's true.
It's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you change. The way you travel changes. Everything. New things come out. You know, you gain a new skill and you're like, oh, I'm going to build this now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or a new hobby and you're like, I need somewhere for all this gear or whatever it is.
Exactly. And that's always the case with us.
Yeah.
New hobbies. Well, you just took up snowboarding.
Yep.
So
yeah,
that's very exciting.
From zero snowboards to four.
Yeah, about that. Zero to 100 real quick. So, Matt, it's been your first time back skiing snowboarding since you lost the bottom part of your leg, right?
Yep.
And Amber, it's been almost 6 years since you've been skiing, correct? Yes. So, like, how has that experience been for you guys?
For me, it was sort of like riding a bike, you know? Yeah. You just got to get it back down again, and then I feel like I've improved a whole lot from starting back to now, you know, I'm basically a professional.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try out for the
especially when she winds up in the powder, like with her skis everywhere.
She's really good at a downhill slalom with a splat. Yard sale.
It was very good.
Well,
she barely screamed.
From my perspective, it was not that graceful. It was a poof of snow. And then I look in and Amber has no skis on and her skis are in two different spots sticking up out of the snow. It's pretty funny.
It's like the hardest thing for me for snowboarding is I'm glad that I was good at snowboarding beforehand because at least I know the fundamentals. I know how it's supposed to feel. Mm-hmm. But, you know, adjusting my fake leg to have it do what I want it to do is a giant pain in the ass.
Yeah.
It's a struggle.
But I recorded you as soon as you got up on it for the first time in your first little run. I know it was really short, but it looked natural as shit.
And I mean, like, obviously you had a bunch of days before we got here, and then we've spent 2 days on the
mountain. Yeah, we rode 2 days together.
And, like, I mean, you're doing pretty good. Like, obviously you're still adjusting and, like, figuring out, like, the angles and the feet and, like, what's supposed to be. But, like, you get from the top to the bottom in one piece.
Yeah, right? It might not be so graceful all the time, but honestly, it happens.
Even from my perspective, and, like, you know, I'm a pretty avid snowboarder. I mean, snowboarding 71 mountains in a single season. But like, seriously, that's my thing. I love to do it. And seeing you snowboard actually kind of gave me even, like, a little bit more, like, oh, man, I'm so lucky to be able to do this, right? As well as, like, just seeing your mechanics and the way you move, you look really comfortable on your board. Like, and I know that that's nowhere near where you're going to be in a couple of weeks from now.
Oh, no.
You know, it's you're still really very much dialing things in. I mean, you have your leg literally turning sideways on you at certain points in time because of the mechanics that go into it. So, like, you know, and you're still able to make it down the mountain even with that happening. So it just goes to show, you know, to not give up, to try to, you know, to push forward. But also, if you're out there and you have these issues, let people know what they need to do to dial it in. I know that.
Right.
I know that you're going to do that after looking up all the videos.
Yeah, when I finally get it all figured out, I'm going to put a video together, just a basic thing of what I tried, what worked, what didn't work. You know, and that's for me. It's not going to be exactly the same for somebody else, but at least it gives them a starting point because you can't find anything on it. It's all like motivational stuff. You can do it, you know. It's not how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get up. But that's great. I love that. That's awesome. But it's not helping me.
He's like, it helped me get on the snowboard, but now I need the dialing stuff.
I have, you know, like six pieces that I have to manipulate with set screws to get it to mimic what a normal leg would do, which is not easy because it's all different angles and everything. But, you know, I'll get there.
Well, and then you're mid-mountain and you have the wrong Allen key.
Yeah.
And you're like, mother trucker.
Yeah, that does not help at all. And then at the same time, like, when you get to your breaking point, it's better to just stop and be like, all right, I'm done for the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just going to boil over and it's like you're not going to enjoy it at all.
Yeah, I think that's
so it's like you got to push yourself, but you have to know when to be like, okay, I'm done.
Well, I think that's a good lesson for everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just knowing life, knowing when to say, okay, I've hit my limit for today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, let's reassess and come back tomorrow.
Yep.
You know, it's the same with the people hiking up, Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they get to a certain point and they start to go and they go, oh, the conditions just aren't worth it. It's not worth my life.
Yep.
I'm going to turn back around and I'll start again tomorrow.
Yeah. Happens to us.
Yeah.
You know, like
all the time.
We made a run at Mount St. Helens and we made the weather station. You could see the summit. But if we were to hit the summit, that means that we were climbing the ridge on the way back down in pitch black.
Yeah.
So it was like, weather station's good enough.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks, but whatever. You know, there's
a beautiful day. We saw Rainier perfectly.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it was
a great day.
Yeah.
And, we got to practice some skills and you got to learn how to self-arrest with an ice axe.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, it's nothing better than sliding down the side of Mount St. Helens with an axe in your hand.
Yeah, it's pretty badass. I will say, even if it's not you that can't make it, like for us, for instance, we hiked up 4,000 feet and Paco couldn't make it.
Right.
Right.
So there was a moment where we had to reassess and say, you know what? We're football field away, but it's not worth it.
Right.
We're going to stop. We're going to relax with Paco. We're going to allow him to, catch himself. And, it's a scary sight, too. You know, you don't want your animal or whatever it is or another person, not in a good position when you're doing such a, crazy hike.
Right.
But, yeah, it's amazing to see you guys do this. You know, it's amazing to see anybody out there climbing, different mountains and everything, but especially with, having obstacles in your way, but being able to get past them, I think that a lot of people could be inspired by what you guys are doing.
That's our thing.
Aww.
Yeah.
Adventuring beyond your limitations.
That's it. That's great. Yeah. We should use that.
You should. That should be your tagline, guys.
That should be.
I might have TM'd it, so I'll take a royalty cut on that.
So if you didn't hear the sarcasm in our voice, that is their tagline. And honestly, it fits you guys perfectly.
Thanks.
It really does. Right. Yeah.
So what are the next mountains you're going to be climbing, the next, adventures?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? We don't set a schedule. We just go with the flow.
We let the mountains speak to us.
I like that.
I like that.
Or that.
I can feel that. I like that.
There's certain things that we have, like, we have to be in a certain place at a certain time.
Yeah.
Sure.
But in between, it's whatever. See something cool, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like that's kind of how we're traveled, too. It's like, okay, we have a commitment a month from now here.
Right.
How we get there is anybody's guess,
right.
And where you're going to stop on the way, who you're going to meet. You kind of let, the road decide or the people you meet.
Or the universe,
like
whatever you want to call it.
It's the flow.
And that's the cool thing about going from the RV to the van is now, like, we're driving down the road and I see some, like, epic shit over here. I'm like, walk up, brake, flip the Yui, and I go back.
Yeah.
Where when you're in a 45-foot RV and then pulling a Jeep, so you're, like, 72 to 75 feet long, it's like, you can't do
bye.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that looked like it would be fun.
Yeah. Bye.
Right.
I love you.
That's it.
I'll be thinking about you.
Yep. So, I mean, that's opened up a bunch of opportunities for us.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think we travel very similar in the sense of, like, we're in the flow. If you guys know what the flow is, that was, like, last year what we tried to live by. This year, I think it's more like be present. Which goes with the flow. Like, if you could be in the flow and be present, I think that's the ultimate reward.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, I feel like that's one thing that I'm very grateful for is being able to, like, be present. I remember back when I used to be at my regular job, I would commute to work and I'd be literally on autopilot.
Right.
And I don't remember how I got to that spot, but I got there. Now it's like everything is like, boom like viewing sunsets or different landscape every time you drive. It's something different or a different road that you've never been on before. It's just it's I don't know, life. Because it's real life, not that 9 to 5. It's awesome. It's awesome. Like right now, I feel like Matt's living. He's drinking a Coors Light.
That's it. I'm,
and
I'm,
we're looking at the Coors Light Mountains.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's like, you have to. It'd be a sin if you didn't.
Right? That's full on presence right there, if you ask me. Actually, the other day, we took a photo up there. So maybe that will wind up on the gram and... it'll be an easy way to find you guys too.
It'll be up there.
So like, I guess the next question is like, you know, we're looking forward to what the future right now and what's to come, and you know, Baja is in our horizons.
Yep.
I think it's kind of a thing that all of us are possibly going to do together.
Yep.
And what are you looking forward to, you know, in Mexico and Baja and, you know, possibly Central America and stuff? Like, what are you looking forward to in that endeavor?
Culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's like the biggest thing for us is culture.
Yeah.
You can learn so much from other people if you just approach it with an open mind, and, you know, you're not going to agree with everything that they have to say or the way that they live, but you can learn so much from them if you just appreciate it. You know, so that's like our thing. I can't wait to that. And then maybe do a little bit of surfing.
I'm gonna give that a go. That's gonna be painful, but
I'm gonna have to fill my leg with foam so that way when I
it floats,
like bite it, you just look for the foot.
Are you gonna leash it to your bathing suit or something? That's not a bad idea. No, like, no. You know, you leash your snowboard or your surfboard to your ankle.
Yeah, there we go.
That's a good
you could
idea.
Use
you just
the...
look. You just look for the bobbing foot. Like, oh, there he is.
I see a couple toes.
Like when we were at the Chena Hot Springs and you had your foot floating around.
You're going to be like Mr. Deeds, Blackfoot.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Why would you do that?
Oh, that's great.
What about you, Amber? What are you excited about?
I feel like I haven't really thought about that one.
Yeah? You're just living in the moment?
Yeah. Sort of like just everything that's so different about the whole country. Like, it's just completely different from America. And I'm just ready for a change. And also, Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to take that on. I will be learning Spanish. I'm going to know it fluently by the end of that whole journey.
Si.
That's my goal. Si.
Si, señorita.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a lot of the same things. I can't wait to surf, actually, and spend some time on the beach. We've been very much winter van lifers, and, like, you know, even summertime was in a cooler place than most.
Summertime was still winter.
Yeah, it was pretty damn close.
It was like socks all summer.
Yeah. It was like winter for, like, Georgia.
Yeah. Right?
We're August, and we were in a foot of snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah,
it's wild.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to a lot of the similar things. I can't wait for the food and culture.
Oh, yeah.
Culture
is
a big reason why I like to travel. I like to learn from different people. I think that is something that we could all do as, like, as a community, is just, like, just learn from others all
it's
the time.
Humanity.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think, too, for us, like, we've been traveling almost exclusively in Canada and the United States for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, like, since we got on the road... Especially because almost as soon as we got on the road, COVID happened.
Right.
Yeah.
So then we were all kind of like limited because you don't really want to leave the country. There's all these rules and restrictions and things like that. Our original plan was to go all the way to Panama and back in that first year, which was absolutely ridiculous. Like nobody planned to do
that.
Yeah,
we would have probably right now been somewhere in Central America, I'm guessing, at this point. With the And the reason why I say that is just because like we probably would have slowed down a lot more.
Oh, sure.
Like,
Who knows? We might be in South America.
We might be
in
South America by now. We don't know where we would be.
Who knows?
But just everything kind of lined itself up, because if none of that happened, we probably wouldn't have met you guys the way we did.
Right.
You know, just like life and the universe kind of puts you in the place you need to be.
Absolutely.
At that exact time, like where we are now. But yeah, like I can't wait for these travels to happen. We're going to see different, like, topography, stuff that we've never seen before. We're going to, you know, there's going to be fishing and, you know, probably some
type of
whale shit. I feel
like we haven't done
that
much beach life.
We haven't done
that
at all.
I know from Mexico, I'm really looking forward to hitting the Yucatan.
Yeah.
Like all the ruins and
yeah.
the history.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of, like, ancient history in America.
No.
Like,
no. It's so young as a nation. And then, you know, it's sad to say, like, you can't get on any of the Indian reservations right now because of COVID.
Yep.
There's still, you know, blocked off. So a lot of the really old history for America that you want to learn is there. So
yeah, you're right. I agree 100%. Like, all the actual history of North America is in the indigenous population. Yeah. It's not us.
Yeah, we're the babies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So it's like
we're the newcomers.
We're like, oh, look at our Liberty Bell.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Ting. They're like, fuck off.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, yeah, realistically, travel has been kind of locked down in a sense, right? It's been limited, right? So we do have limitations for all of us when it comes to travel at the moment.
Well, and I think too, like, I'm just ready for something different. Like, we haven't actually done all 50 states.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of states are very similar to other states.
You hit the highlight reel.
Yeah, wow, correct.
You did.
Correct. You know, and like,
you know, you guys hit the highlight reel, and it's time to start moving
on. We definitely still want to do like an East Coast summer trip, like through like Maine and like Prince Edward Island and like all that kind of stuff. But like, other than that, like, I feel like we've basically hit everything in the middle and the whole West Coast.
Right.
And it's like, what are we going to spend another year kind of circling the same tracks that we've already circled before?
America is America is America. I mean,
time to move on.
The great part is like, we do have a lot of different landscape here, which allows
us. The culture is
similar everywhere you go.
And the grocery stores are the same and you can buy all the same foods. Yeah. And
I'm very interested in, you know, once again, pushing those limitations, like kind of being out of my comfort zone again.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because I feel like so comfortable. Well,
that's when you grow.
Correct.
And when you're not comfortable, you grow.
Yeah. And that's what I like. I want to grow. I haven't necessarily grown in height in many years, and I lacked that when I was a kid too. I'm a pretty short guy. But when it comes to like growth of the mind and the spirit and just like, you know, life in general, understanding many different things, I think travel is the way to do it, you know, and being uncomfortable is the way to do it.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, we're giving ourselves, it's like a year and what, 4 months?
Sure.
Something like that. Like a year and 4 months to hit the southern tip of Argentina.
Nice.
From now. So we got that. And then we're going to go.
You guys are going to be moving pretty quick.
Yeah.
A year goes by pretty quickly. Like how many miles is that?
I don't know.
Plus, like, the shipping delay, I guess, between Panama and
that's like
Colombia.
4 days.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. I thought that they, like, from things that I've heard, they might hold your van in, like, customs and stuff.
That's why you get a broker.
Oh.
If you do it through a broker, they handle all the customs stuff, and you don't run into that as much.
Right.
So you got to hit
and
the right broker.
And even if you do run into it, then the broker should handle
they
it.
They take care of it all.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you just got to worry about yourself and, you know,
yeah, Kurt
the
and
dog
Snow.
And everything else.
Kurt and Snow is a couple, an older couple, a van life couple that just did that shipment from Panama down into
Cartagena.
South. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
correct.
Colombia.
Yeah, yeah. And they had a bit of a delay. And I don't remember exactly why. I'll have to go back and look. But I think it was because of like the situation of the world right now.
Oh, well, yeah, like all the shipping containers that are
and
just
I think
like,
it was like instead of being like a little bit less than a week, it was like a week and a half to 2 weeks. You know what I mean? But when you think about it on the grand scale of it, like you have one shipment really that's going to hold you back in the sense of a year and almost a year and a half left of travel to make it all the way down to the southern point.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be skipping a few countries just because we don't really have a desire to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll save some time.
Yeah.
We're going to spend a lot of time, I think, in Chile and Argentina.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
all the mountains.
Yeah.
It's
beautiful.
That's
right?
The insane portion, you know. And I really want to spend some time in Colombia, too, because Colombia has come a long way from what Colombia is always perceived as.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
So it's like I really want to spend some time there and kind of feel that whole thing out, because I've heard great things.
Yeah. What I find super interesting about travel and like listening to people in the States talk about travel compared to like even just having the YouTube channel and people from different countries reaching out to us, it seems like the people from their countries seem very excited about traveling even within their own country and not scared.
And like inviting.
And inviting.
Like,
and like,
oh
you have
here.
To travel here. It's going to be amazing. You're going to love it. You're probably not going to want to leave. It's like 90% of the stuff that winds up being said. And then you have the people kind of here like, stay in America. Don't leave.
Yeah, it's so dangerous.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like, really, if you look at it and you look at the reports that come out, the 50 most dangerous cities in the world, America takes up like 10 of them.
Oh, I believe it.
You know, so it's like...
Well, really, people from other countries are afraid of America.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You get somebody from England that comes over here, they think they're going to get shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're
well,
like,
that's
we're
going
to get off the plane and we're going to get shot. That's just how it's going to work. Uh-huh. We're going to America.
Everybody in America owns a gun.
That's it. And everybody wants to kill you.
Yeah, yeah, which is not true at all. I mean, it's just funny. It's like, you know, it's these weens and wanes of, like, wanting to keep you in a place.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, your country wants to keep you here because they want to keep the money here. They want, you know, they don't want you to go branch out.
Right.
You know, you might learn a thing or two. That's the scariest part, right?
Yep. You know, and it's like anywhere. It has its good places and its bad places. Do your research, you know, thorough freaking research beforehand. Plan your trip, you know, and just stay out of the bad spots. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Don't go to East St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually kind of drove through that. It was
so
sketchy.
I got sick there on my yearly, like, bronchitis crap that I get. And we were stuck there for, like, 4 days in East St. Louis. And all you heard was gunshots going off. And she had to go pick up my prescription. And it's like, you literally drive through all these abandoned, burnt down buildings and everything to get to this little, you know, pharmacy to go pick up meds, and I'm like, oh,
sorry.
So it's like, you know what, it's everywhere.
Yeah,
it's,
I remember,
here in America, it's in Mexico, it's whatever country they all have their little pockets.
Yeah, I remember, like, even just gassing up in that area and being like, damn, this is sketchy. And, like, I grew up in the projects in Brooklyn,
right?
Like I know sketchy.
Yeah.
And, like, I even was like, okay, I still had conversation with somebody and, like, became cool with them. They were riding, like, this, like, sweet little three, you know, wheeled bike.
Oh, nice.
I forget what they're
tricycle?
Called. No, no. It's
like a motorcycle.
No,
but like
motorcycle.
A tricycle.
What are they called? The
spider thing?
Yeah, it was something
Can-Am
like that.
Spider?
It was a Can-Am, but it wasn't. It was more like a bike-styled one. It was the spider, but it was a bike-styled one. Like,
okay.
You sat on top.
Oh, so it was like a cruiser.
It was a cruiser.
I gotcha.
Like, it was a super wide cruiser that you sat on top of,
nice.
not in. You
right.
know what I mean?
Nice.
So yeah, it was dope, and I was like, damn, that thing's cool. And next thing you know, he flies by us on the highway and he starts beeping because, like, you know, I just was chatting with him. I told him what we do. He was cool with it. I gave him some stickers, you know.
Nice. Yeah, stickers are the key.
Yeah, you make friends.
That's
you know
it.
like we were talking about earlier, I'm like the mayor of the parking lot. No matter what
That's
parking
it.
Lot it is, I talk to everybody. You know, you learn a lot more. You make people feel more comfortable, you know, than, you know, somebody might just have you back just because they see your van.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, like, I was thinking about this earlier when we were talking. We're all a little bit, or can be, sometimes introverted, but mostly extroverted.
Right.
And, like, happy to talk to people, happy to talk to locals, happy to ask for directions or ask for places to go or things to see or whatever to do. Or, like, oh, there's a van parked next to me. I'm going to talk to them. And I think...
Well, you got to be careful, because if they're solo, they may have an axe. But only the females.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me more.
Inside joke. Inside joke. Yeah.
Okay, everybody's got some safety precautions.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they don't come out wielding it.
Let's just say that for the most part, when people pull up next to you, it's because they're looking at for safety in numbers.
Yes.
If they're parked next to you, it's mostly for that reason. Don't be scared. Have a quick conversation. Make sure everything's, you know.
Share your fire, share your beer, and,
yeah.
and have a good time.
You know, be a good Samaritan, I guess you could say, right?
Lock your doors.
Yeah, lock your doors when you go to bed. That's important, though, you know?
But my point, basically, was that I feel like journeys like ours are much better facilitated when you are willing to make new friends.
Oh, yeah.
And explore new people and places and, like, get to know the local insight. I think that people would have trouble with van life if they, or it would just be kind of lonely, maybe, you know, if you weren't willing to kind of step out of your comfort zone.
And maybe that's their thing. You know, some people do it just to escape.
Yeah.
You know,
and, like,
get
out into the woods.
Yeah, they've had enough of, you know, modern society and, you know, busy cities, busy life, you know, no time to slow down. And all they want to do is just
get away.
You know, peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny. We got a comment the other day on our YouTube channel, and it was somebody like, didn't you get into this, like, to get away from people, like, while you're going to the people? And we're like, no, we didn't get into it for that reason. Other people do get into it for that reason, but not us. Like, specifically, we got into it to actually meet more like-minded people.
Right.
you know, and
make new friends.
Make new friends and see what's out there, and you know, to explore and enjoy nature. So like, just like everybody gets into it for a different reason, you know, you got to figure that out by having that conversation.
And we're like a mix. Yeah. You know, we love meeting new people and seeing new things and exploring new opportunities. But yeah, at the same time,
we
enjoy being that van down by the river.
Yeah. Or the van on like, the top of the mountain. That's it. That nobody just comes by solitude. For 4 or 5 days. Yeah.
Solitude. You know, you can just be with yourself and your partner.
Yep. Yeah. And nature. Yeah. You know, and go for a walk.
Fur baby.
Yeah, and the fur babies.
Fur babies.
Yeah, I think they like it too. I think that they have the best life.
Skip loves it, man. New smells at least every other day.
Yep.
Very rarely does he ever get a leash put on him because we're out in the middle of nowhere somewhere on a beach or, you know, places where you don't have to put a leash on him. So he's just like,
ah! Yeah. Does he get less excited now for like his collar? Because Paco does.
No. He gets like super stoked when you bring out the harness.
Yeah, because I remember when we were at
the
house.
Places.
Yeah.
We're always going places.
But the funny thing is no matter where he is, if I go out there and start the van, he's on a beeline right for that van and up into his bed.
Yeah.
Right in the middle. Like he's like, I'm ready to go. Let's go. Put it in gear.
That's awesome.
Were you guys worried about him before you started track? Because I know in the RV he threw up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he got like motion sickness or something, or car sickness.
Well, that's why I built that whole center console right there and then put his bed on top of it. So he was sitting on the same level as us.
Yeah. And he can
look
see
out the windows and everything.
Yeah.
And
he was always jumping in my lap.
That's awesome.
Like he always wanted to see out or be like in my lap. And like, this can't happen. I don't have enough room here for you. So doing that, no throw up. Ever.
We've actually thought about building something for Paco too, like in the middle, because he does tend to like sit on our laps all the time.
Yeah.
And mostly mine. So like I think it's for the same exact purpose. He wants to be able to look out the window.
Yeah.
Right. He wants to be close to you.
He wants to be close to us, obviously. He likes looking out the window. Mm-hmm. Like when we are passing by like farmland and there's like cows and there's like bison and horses, he's like looking out the window, he gets excited, he starts making his little doggy noises. It's super cute, but it's incredible, like to get to see, you know, another perspective of like even just your animal enjoying it.
Yeah,
right.
You know, it goes to show, like even when we were building the van at your guys' house, it was a great space to do it, but Paco was like, there was times that he was just like, whatever.
Yeah, just another day.
Yeah, same yard.
Same smells, same skip. Yeah. and he's just like, you know, like Skip's trying to play with him.
Yeah,
and he's
Skip's like, dude, you know what'll fix that? If you just lick my butthole.
Yeah, yeah. And Paco's like, no, I'd rather lick your dick. Sorry, guys, sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
They really like each other.
It's extreme.
They really like each other.
Yeah. Like right now, they're sitting next to each other, like they're just cool with each other. They're best friends for sure. Best friends who look at each other in weird ways.
Yeah. You know, that's sometimes funny. You just gotta have that friend.
Yeah.
They're special friends.
Yes, they are.
So, would you guys have any advice? You know, now that you've been in the van for a while, if people were like looking to move into van life, what would be your like tips, or what has been your biggest pain points maybe?
I guess for a tip is think about the things that you really want to do, where you want to go, things you want to see, set some expectations for yourself and then build your van around that. Cause there's nothing worse of, I want to go to this place, but I can't get there with what I have.
Yeah.
And we've met another van life couple, I guess, that is going through that right now. Is they're building something and they're like, no, we messed up.
Oh no.
So now they got another one on order, they got that van coming in, and they're gonna completely change it up. But you know, it's like, think long game.
Yeah for sure.
Term. And then I think also anything and almost everything in the van, if it can be a multi-use, like have multiple purposes. Everything needs multiple purposes.
Yeah, I agree. I love that advice. I think it's great advice.
And dents happen. Yeah. Scratches happen.
Yeah.
That means you were having a good time.
Yep.
Well, and it's always good to get the first one out of the way.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, all right, well, Whatever happens, happens.
Well, you bought a van with dents and scratches, and then you don't care as much. Yeah,
and we got our first couple, and I was like, you know, as long as they're not through, like, the primer, I'm like, oh. And then we started, like, really going off-roading, and then I'm like, well, at least there's still some paint left on it, clear coat left, but whatever.
Not why you're getting the wrap? Well, I know you wanted the wrap originally.
So we wanted the wrap originally, and that is part of the reason we were going to, like, Rhino line or, you know, just truck bed liner, spray the whole freaking thing. But we like having our name on the side of the van. So that makes it a little difficult. And then we also have, you know, corporate sponsors and stuff that we want their names on there too, because we really, you know, it helps us do what we do.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why we settled on, like, the wrap. We're going to still Raptor line or Rhino line the whole bottom part of the van, where it gets, like, the most abuse from rocks and mud and everything else.
Yep.
But then we're going to wrap the rest of it. And then you don't see all the scratches either.
There you go. And then whenever it does get scratched, you just replace the wrap. Yeah.
One thing I do want to say is, like, some advice, depending on, like, the amount of value that you have to put into your van. If you want to be able to be somebody that goes, like, way off grid, use that money to invest in making the vehicle good capable for that stuff. And then everything inside you could build as you go, or, you know, use a little bit less expensive items. Yeah. You could go more simple. You know, simple is very good anyway. It's less that will actually break down on you as well. So, yeah, just, you know, some advice, because, you know, depending on how that looks for you, it's different for everybody. Some people have a very small budget. Some people have a medium-sized budget. And some people have a very good budget. So, you know, make sure that you're doing it within your means, because you also want to be able to purchase the fuel to get to those spots.
Yep.
You know, you want to be able to have enough money to get out there and really enjoy it as well.
Yeah. You know, and like for off-grid stuff, it's like dump your money into your batteries, your charging system, and your water.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to, like, you're going to want a massive water supply, a huge battery bank, and then you're going to need something else, like a secondary alternator like we have, to be able to charge it. I mean, our solar, it doesn't really do anything. It offsets, like, our refrigerator and some small stuff.
Yeah.
But
how many watts do you have up there?
380.
Okay.
Yeah, we're about the same.
So. But you have way more batteries.
Yeah, so we have 1,100 amp hours of lithium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the solar would never charge that.
No.
It's impossible.
It would take a month for it to even, you know, start
in
to
the desert.
Charge it.
Right.
In the desert, full sun.
Full sun.
Without you guys using it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it would take a long time.
Where we put in the secondary alternator, so that way, you know, a couple hours and it's pretty much charged back up.
Yeah.
But for off-grid stuff, that's like dump your money into your batteries, your charging system, and your water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the rest, you know, skimp on it, because if you're really worried about going off-grid, you're going to break shit anyway, so put the IKEA cabinets in. Don't spring for the custom-made cabinets or whatever, you know, if you're looking at a budget-wise.
Well, I feel like one thing you guys did do really well is that the interior of the van is very cozy and homey and, like, you know, livable.
It's all hurt.
Yeah.
I know.
But also at the same time, super rugged and able to handle the really bouncy roads and, you know, the crap that you're going to go down and, you know,
so
the stuff you're going to put
in. It's all 80-20.
Yeah.
Everything's 80-20, carbon fiber. And then we do have the high-density polyethylene cabinets that we built. And that's all coming out and getting replaced with solid carbon fiber.
Yeah.
So lightweight, rigid. You know, it works out well.
Ready for everything.
Yeah.
So if you guys are looking to adventure beyond your limitations, you guys could go check out Adaptive Humanity. We fully support what they do. We love what they do. We think that they're two of the greatest people that we've ever met.
Aww.
Like, honestly, you guys are awesome. You rock.
Aww.
And, like, we're really excited to continue to adventure with you guys as well. I know that we're about to, you know, go separate ways.
For a little while.
For at least a month or so.
Just a little bit.
But, you know, we have you know, things we have to do and places we have to be and exciting.
Well, I think that's kind of the nice way to happen. Travel together.
You know what, though?
Too,
we always manage to, you know, we go our separate ways, we do our things, and then all of a sudden our paths cross again.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go our separate ways, and, you know, so
we'll meet back up.
Nice.
And
so,
but I like that because it's like, okay, what'd you learn? What'd you see? What'd you do? You know, teach me the things.
Where am I not supposed
to
go?
Yeah. What messed you guys up real bad?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you have a whole list of Alaska lessons.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my goodness, I need to hear some of these.
Yeah.
So we're gonna eventually do like a little video on it of the things that you learn in Alaska.
Awesome. Love it.
So here's a preview, I guess.
Yes. Should I say them all?
Well, pick your favorite.
Pick
you
your
know,
favorite
if you
ones.
Want to save some for the
for the surprise.
Okay. Well, okay, this was the first lesson that we ever learned, so we should go with that one first.
What?
This one, right here.
Oh.
Right here.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So don't smoke meth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yep.
I remember that one. That one was clear.
Yes.
And even your kids learned that
one. Yes. When my kids got back on the plane to go back to New York, I asked them, I said, what is the one thing you learned in Alaska? And they said, don't smoke meth.
Didn't a police officer teach you that?
That was correct.
Yeah.
Very nice.
In Anchorage.
You don't need back windows.
Yes. Okay. I could 100% agree with you.
We
there.
Had back windows in our first van, and they were 100% always
and
covered.
And that's why we did not have back windows on this
one. And ours were 100% always shattered.
Yeah.
So we vetoed those.
Wet wood will burn.
We learned that. That was a great lesson for all of us.
Yeah. Who needs paint? You guys, that's useless anyway. Skip is not afraid of beavers.
Ooh.
That's a rough lesson to learn.
Yeah, he'll go full send towards a beaver in a frozen creek in the middle of the night, you know.
Good job, Skip.
Yeah, the guy who's afraid of his own shadow, you know, he'll go for a beaver anytime.
I mean, he's a real man if you ask me.
Oh, Frank.
Sorry. So, I was waiting for it to click.
Good. Always carry a chainsaw, which we mentioned earlier.
Right, so
did you get one yet?
No.
Still looking for your perfect chainsaw. I want
one of those like small electric ones.
Well, I would imagine it'd have to be kind of compact to like fit in the van.
They have compact small electric ones, like 12 volt ones.
Yeah, the hard part was finding one though.
Yeah.
So I just gotta track one down and
get it shipped somewhere.
Yeah, it gets, unfortunately in this lifestyle, you get something online and then it gets shipped back to wherever your home base is, and then it's delayed a month in getting to wherever you are.
Yeah.
Well, we have a package that's supposed
right
to come here, and it's
exactly.
not here yet.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, we totally understand that part of the lifestyle, but you know, it's a definitely one of those things I'm like,
it's minor.
I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's okay.
We also figured out for the last one here is that our van cannot go anywhere.
Ah.
What do you mean?
So there's some places where it cannot go.
Yes. There's some places that
around a tree.
It shouldn't go.
It can't drive up.
It can't drive through a tree.
That is correct.
Okay,
we tried.
Cool.
We tried and it ended up being like 4-hour ordeal of trying to back up and turn around and swing 24 feet inside of 12 feet.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was a mess.
Yeah.
So it
sounds like a great time if
not
you ask
our best
me.
Moment.
Yes.
Yes.
But
were
then,
the two of you calm with each other during this? Or was it?
I just like get quiet and watch from a distance.
Well,
and
Matt just like,
I get
flustered and dig.
Do you scream a lot of curse words?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
cool.
Kicks things and, you know, it's fine. I'm like, it's best if we just stand and watch and let it cool down.
Yeah.
You're like, I'll make lunch.
Yeah. You're like, Skip, come here.
No, Skip's like, Mom, Dad's doing the thing again.
But you know what, though? It taught me how to use a lot of the equipment that we have.
Because
there were
like
some points
your...
where I was literally digging out a 4-foot-tall bank to be able to back up an extra 6 inches so I can get onto a traction board so I could rock it back and forth. But, you know, knock on wood, we've gotten ourselves out every single time. I've figured it out one way or another. We've gotten ourselves out.
So you're telling me that you look like what's his name? Austin Powers? And that when he was trying to back up the golf cart?
Yes.
No, more like Alex.
Oh, gotcha.
God.
So, yeah. That was great. In the drone shot?
Yeah.
That was so in Alaska, too.
So they can't see in here, but it's like from where I'm sitting to the wall, it's probably about like, what do you say, 12 feet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right about 10, there?
12, yeah.
So that is about how wide that trail was that we were going down with two big rivets in the middle.
Yeah. From and other four-wheelers and whatnot going down it.
So, and that's the spot where I had to turn around a 24-foot van.
Yeah, that weighs like 11,000 pounds. With like trees.
So, 12,300 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. That's a beast.
They are overweight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, slightly. Slightly. But disclaimer, we also upgraded everything that we needed to upgrade to be able to take the extra weight. So correct. All the suspension swapped out.
Yeah.
There's shocks on the front now where there wasn't any shocks before. Mm-hmm. All our springs are custom done. And then hopefully we can get our driveline swapped. And once that happens, I mean, the Dana 80 is meant for 8,000 pounds just on the rear axle.
Wow. Yeah, that's wild.
So it's just like a game changer.
Yeah.
It'll fix everything. And yeah, the van motor and transmission can take it.
Well, I was going to say,
it's designed for that. If you look at how much it can tow plus carry,
yeah,
you know, it can pull that weight with no problem. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, getting your suspension and everything else dialed in. So if you don't change your suspension, if you don't, you know, do all those things, do not load your van up.
Yeah, don't make it that
heavy. It's going to go bad.
And I will say that a lot of your weight probably comes from like the bumper and the you know, batteries. The roof rack and the batteries.
We're actually pretty
and,
light. Oh, so yeah. The roof rack weighs about 110 pounds.
Okay, that's pretty light.
The whole roof rack, including solar panels.
Wow. I'm impressed because I thought that would be a little bit more.
The front bumper actually doesn't weigh that much when you take the winch and the brackets and everything away from it that are part of the frame now.
Uh-huh.
But like the actual winch is very heavy.
That is heavy.
Yeah. I remember when we all lifted it up to put it on there. It was a fair bit of weight, but it wasn't like
it was like
200 pounds.
But I didn't just scoot it off and put it back on myself.
Yeah, it was like around 200 pounds, I think, though.
Probably,
right? Yeah,
right about there.
Mm-hmm.
The back bumper weighs like maybe 70 pounds.
Yeah,
if that. Most of the weight is in the batteries.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, 11
and the water weight.
11 batteries. Oh, yeah. And we got 54 gallons of water.
Which is probably like somewhere near 500 pounds of water.
Right. And then 58 gallons of fuel.
Yeah.
So we got a secondary 30-gallon fuel tank on top of the 28 gallons it carries.
Which weighs more than water?
Diesel's a little bit less.
A little
bit
less,
but a little bit less.
Gotcha.
So that's where vast majority of the weight is.
Yeah, yeah. And it's amazing how quickly like it just stacks up. You know what I mean? Like when you're adding things, it just stacks, the weight stacks up pretty quickly.
And the way that I designed the van too, so our water tanks sit over each wheel well, and then our batteries sit straight between those two right where the rear axle is.
Yeah.
So I centered all of the weight in the back right over the rear axle, and it's equal from side to side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the other challenge.
Which is the area of the van that actually could take on the most weight as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing something like that, you got to think, okay, so I have all this weight. I better put it in the right spot or else your van's going to look like a blown over billboard going down the road.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And so when you guys are out there building your vans, whatever you're doing, just make sure that you really think about the concept of how you're doing it. And even if you're going to somebody to have it built for you, make sure that they're doing it correctly as well too, because you don't want to be driving in a lopsided van. You'll be changing out tires faster than you're going to want to.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have a lot of other issues.
Well, just regular safety checks. We were hanging out with someone the other day who had their van built by a builder. And their van is literally falling apart. Like, the top cabinets are, like, falling off the walls.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And, like, you paid tens of thousands of dollars for somebody else to do it for you.
Welcome to the RV industry.
And personally, if I knew the name of the company, I'd blow up their spot right now. But I don't know the name of the company.
Yeah, I can't remember it either.
I could always ask
put
the question.
In the description.
If you are, if you want to know, just shoot us a message. We'll ask our friend.
It was in Colorado.
In Colorado for sure.
Well, a lot of the builders, in all fairness, are in Colorado and
Oregon, Washington.
Well, and I think also a lot of people got into it in the last like couple years.
Yeah.
Because it was like van life has blown up, and I see all these other builders who have huge wait lists, so why not open up a shop?
That's it.
And now I can take some of their wait lists.
And I'll just wing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personally, the people that I would buy vans from, if I was somebody who couldn't convert one myself, I would buy the van from the person who's converted the van, actually proven that it works, and showed you all the things by making videos about it. and then purchasing that vehicle.
You're trying to sell our van?
No, I'm just saying, maybe eventually one day, yes. But there are people out there that we know that have vans, that built them, true and tried, and their vans work great. And they turn around and sell them every, you know, year, 2 years, whatever.
Yeah.
But you could literally see everything those vans have been through.
Right.
And you know that it works.
Well, and the other tricky thing, this is, I guess, who cares if it's on topic, but when you have a build issue like that and you go to like sue them or whatever to get your money back, you usually have to sign something saying that you won't talk badly about them.
Correct.
So you can't leave a negative review on their Yelp page, and you can't put up a post on social media.
You get locked into an NDA. Yes.
And if you they just settle. Put $20,000 into something and you don't have $20,000 to throw away, like, you will need that money back.
Right.
You're going to be like, all right, well, I guess I won't say anything.
Correct.
But then the next person that comes along just sees all these 4 and 5 star reviews and they think it's all great. But like, meanwhile, the people who had a hard time got silenced.
There's only 3 people that I would feel comfortable actually building a van for me. And I would still watch them like a hawk because that's just how I am.
Yeah.
But is Turig, because they build one hell of a van. And then you got Beartooth Van Works.
Mm-hmm.
They're solid. They're in Montana.
Okay.
And then there's Freedom Van Gogh in Florida.
Okay.
Those 3 are tried and true, you know, 10, 15, 20 years of experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and if something does go wrong, you don't have to sue them. You call them and you're like,
like,
this is what's going on. And then they're like, oh my God, can you get the van here or let us find somewhere where you are to get this thing fixed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct.
You know,
that reminds me of the van builder we met in Anchorage.
Yeah.
And he had been doing boats for decades. And then switched over to vans like 10 years ago.
Yep.
And like,
we went in and actually looked at the way he was building the vans. And I mean, they were solid. It was like you building a van. Like, legit, it was like
anal about everything.
Yeah, like everything was pristine. Like, there was a wire run and like a cap that you could remove to be able to get to all your wires.
Yeah.
Everything would just looked. Everything really looked. Nice.
And that's how it should be. If you're paying somebody top dollar,
it was all built with steel and aluminum.
Yep.
Yeah.
So like, you know, it ain't going anywhere. You know what I mean? It's all locked into the chassis of the van.
Yep.
Like, you know, it's really good quality.
And the problem is with those places, you pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, they're not cheap. But you know, also,
their price.
That's so your home. That's your home that experiences an earthquake every day of its life.
Yeah.
So like,
all day.
If you're gonna have someone build it for you, then you might need to save up for another couple of years or something.
Right.
The interesting part about him is he's like, tell me your budget. And then we'll work within your budget.
Oh, that's nice.
You know what I mean? So
I'm
like,
sure there's a minimum.
Yeah,
jump,
I'm sure there is.
Like, yeah.
But I think the thing about the building it yourself, you can kind of pick where you want to splurge and where you want to save, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're paying somebody else to build it, don't go with the brand new budget van builder, because then you're going to get a brand new budget van.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you're going to be like dealing with all these issues.
And the one thing I liked about Freedom Van Gogh, and I even contemplated having them do our electrical system.
Mm.
That's where I was going to take it to do it before. I just said, no,
I'm going to do it myself. Yeah.
But they now build like drop-in electrical systems.
Yep.
You tell them what you want.
Like how many watts and how many amps
and everything. And then you tell them where you want it to go and stuff. And they literally build it and ship it to you.
Yep. That's great.
So if you're not comfortable doing your electrical, which a lot of people aren't, you know, splurge a little bit on that and it just shows up at your doorstep.
And then you just have to plug the wires into
it. That's it. Everything's already done. You just bloop.
That's nice.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Cool. All right, kids. I think it's time for dinner.
It's bedtime.
Yeah,
you want to go to bed?
Listen, Matt's got like 30 minutes of sleep.
30 minutes of sleep in 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm going to bed.
All right, kids.
He's going to bed. We're going to do dinner. But thank you for being on the podcast. We appreciate
it. Thanks for coming to hang out with us.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for inviting us.
We wouldn't have passed this place without stopping.
And thanks for picking up our yard sale the other day.
I did my best. I did lose your pass.
Yeah,
but, you know,
there was a sacrifice.
Sacrifices will be made.
We're excited to see you guys now, and we're excited to see you again in or San Diego, I guess. We'll be hanging out there for a little bit.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yep.
And many more adventures to come.
Oh, yeah.
Super and for exciting. You out there listening, thank you so much for being here and listening, and we hope that you guys have an FNA day.
You know, it's true. Van life, YouTube channel, what they do. Everybody's got to get money. Everybody's about to get money. Make sure you subscribe to their YouTube channel, FNA Van Life. Holla at.